السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes we think of the ni'mat of the eyes, sometimes we think of the ni'mat of the hands, sometimes we think the ni'mat of the house, the ni'mat of the car, the children, the grandchildren. But to be come to the house of Allah Ta'ala on Jumu'ah also, this is a great ni'mat. And sometimes when this ni'mat is taken away, then a person realizes. There was one person who was hospitalized, and for many weeks he was in hospital. So one of the things that he mentioned, he said, the thing that I miss the most is the ability to go to the masjid for Jumu'ah Salah. He said, now I'm in hospital, I can't go, but let me tell you that this is a great ni'mat. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mat of being able to come to the house of Allah on the day of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see many more days of Jumu'ah. And we also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows us to appreciate this day of Jumu'ah, and He causes our life, the last day of our earthly life, to be the day of Jumu'ah. Today I wish to discuss a very great personality, or actually the death of a very great personality. And that is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was that sahabi who was, his life had many, many lessons. The way he conducted his life, the way he carried out his life, what a visionary he was, there are many, many lessons in his life. But these great personalities, not only in their life these lessons, even in their death also there are many, many lessons. So there is a long hadith in Bukhari Sharif which discusses the death of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So I will just discuss inshallah some aspects from that long hadith which is found in Bukhari Sharif under the manaqib, under the explanation of the significance of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So anyway, Hazrat Amr ibn Maymun radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is the narrator of this hadith, and he explains about the death of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. But even before the death, he said 4 days before Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu could be stabbed and 4 days before he could pass away, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was concerned and worried. That type of visionary was, he was not only worried about himself, he was not only worried about the country, but every Islamic empire under his rule, every part of the world under his rule, he was worried what their condition was. So he explained that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was worried about Sham and Iraq specifically, that they should, that one place in Iraq, that the taxes should not be so much that these people can't bear. So he's asking those people that are in charge, that are you levying more taxes on them that they can bear? They said, no, based on the amount of production that land is giving, the taxes are sufficient. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that I will still do further investigation to see that their taxes are not being over levied. Now which government today thinks like this, that I'm not over levying taxes on the individuals or the citizens of the country? But this was the concern of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then he makes this niyat and he says, I could see that every widow has sufficient so that she doesn't need to turn to any other source of income. She gets enough from the Baytul Mal. He was even concerned about the amount that the widows also would get. This was the vision of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Anyway, on that morning when he was stabbed and he had passed away, this incident is mentioned so graphically that Hazrat Amr ibn Maymun radiallahu anhu, he says that between me and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, there was only one person, and that was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So he says that Hazrat Umar's style was, his way was, that before he would start the salah, he would be the imam, but before he start the salah, he would ensure that the safs are very, very straight. And he would say, istawu, that make your saf straight, and he would go and see. And only after he sees that there's no khalal, there's no gaps between the safs, then only Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu would go forward and start the salah. Giving so much of emphasis on standing shoulder to shoulder, getting the safs right in salah is not a small thing. After he would ensure this, then only, imagine this was the last salah of his life, then also he's ensuring that the safs are straight, no gaps, and then he goes forward to start the salah. So he says, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu just said the takbir. And when he said the takbir, there was a Majusi, there was a fire worshipper, non-Arab, by the name of Fairuz Abu Lu'lu, and he was the slave of Mughira, that he had taken a double-edged dagger, and he had rushed Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, because just started salah, he rushed him, and he poked him 6 times. 6 times he had poked him in the abdomen area. And obviously poking him with a double-edged sword like this, in one narration it comes also that he had dipped it in poison also, and then he had poked Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Anyway, he then flees off. He flees off, and as he's running, whichever person around him he sees, he starts stabbing them. So he stabs 13 people in the rush. It was dark, you can imagine, time of Fajr. Many people couldn't see what's happening around them. He runs, and whoever he sees, he starts poking. 13 people he stabs, and out of 13, 7 pass away. Eventually, one sahaba were brave people, unlike me and you, we fight for every small thing. They are willing to take on the enemy. So there was one person that rushes him. He takes a shawl and throws it over him, and he captures this Fairuz. When he realizes now he's captured, he pokes himself, and he kills himself. So that's how he was killed, this Fairuz, this Majusi. Anyway, he killed himself. So when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was stabbed, first thing he said was, Qatalani al-Kalb, or Akalani al-Kalb, that a predator has killed me. So he informs the Sahaba around him. Those that were close, they saw what had happened, but those that were far away, there was no mic system like we have. So those that were far away, they started saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. In other words, encouraging the Imam that this is a loud salah, you're supposed to be saying Qirat, you're supposed to be reading Qirat. They didn't know what had happened. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, look at his vision, that ulama explained that these great people, that in their life there's lessons, in their death also there's lessons. He's worried about the ummah. There's the ummah behind me. What is going to happen today, Fajr Salah? So instead of him screaming and crying out for help, what does he do in that stab condition? He takes the hand of Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, you come lead the Salah. Salah is more important, forget about me. The Salah is more important. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, intelligent Sahabi, he reads a very short Salah. Why? Because there's an emergency here. The Amir has been stabbed. The Amir is lying on the ground. There's a very, very urgent emergency. So this is what the Imam should do when there's an emergency. He should cut the Salah short, but complete the Salah if he can. So Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu comes. He begins the Salah, he finishes the Fajr Salah. So what happens after that? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he's worried. His vision is such that who has killed me? He didn't know who had stabbed him. So he sends Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu to go and find out. After some time, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu comes and tells him who this person was. So he says these, look at the words that come out of the mouth of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Sometimes we got a fever, sometimes we got a pain in our leg, sometimes we got a flu and we complain so much. But here he's stabbed and he's on the verge of dying. What does he say when he comes to know who had stabbed him? He says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yaj'al meetati biyadi rajulin yadda'i al-Islam. All praise is due to that Allah who hasn't caused my death by someone who claims to be a Muslim. Why? He was a non-Muslim, this person. He was a fire worshipper. He was worried that if the person that had murdered him was a Muslim, firstly, it would mean that I probably was unfair in my treatment to my subordinates as the leader. He was worried about that, number one. Number two, ulama say that it would signify that there was infighting, disunity amongst the Muslims. And this was not something that he wanted to see. And thirdly, perhaps, what impression it would have given of Islam when the outsiders are looking that Muslims are fighting amongst themselves. So because of this, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is praising Allah that there isn't a person who claimed to be a Muslim that killed me. In other words, it's the enemy of Islam. It's a non-Muslim that had killed me. He's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Anyway, going on with this hadith, now people are worried. In the hadith it comes, it's as though they haven't experienced any musibat before that. In other words, after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till this moment, they haven't had experienced such a trial, such a calamity, like the stabbing of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. People were crying, people were wailing in their homes, people were distraught. Such a great leader has been stabbed. So anyway, some people were saying that he'll be okay, others saying, no, he's looking very serious. So different people were saying different things. Those people that were treating him, they carried him to his home. Those people that were now treating him, they tried to infuse dates in water, what we call nabid. You take dates, you put it in water, it gives you a little bit of strength, like an energy drink. They tried to give him that. As he's drinking that, from his abdomen it's coming out. They gave him some milk to drink, again it's coming out. So now they realize that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is in his last phases. One young person comes, And he starts praising Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu in that condition. He says, Abshir ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, bi bushra Allah, bi suhbati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Glad tidings be to you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, with the glad tidings of Allah. What was the glad tidings of Allah? He made you have the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are no ordinary sahabi. You had the company and the close companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدَ مِنْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. Not only that, you were early in Islam. Another way, وَقِدَ مِنْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. You made so much of khidmat for Islam. Such a great personality. How much of khidmat you made for Islam. ثُمَّ وُلِّيْتَ فَعَدَلْتَ. Then you were made the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And you were fair. You were very just in what you did. What you did, you were very, very just. ثُمَّ شَهَادَةٌ. And now you got shahadat. Congratulations to you. You got so many accolades to your name, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Look at the reply of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu at this time. At this critical time, look at the reply. He said, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَفَافٌ لَا لِي وَلَا عَلَيَّ. All that you have said, I just wish that it can break even for me on the day of Qiyamah. I wish I can just break even. In other words, whatever gunas I committed, all these accolades that you're saying, if they can just help reduce my gunas so I can break even on the day of Qiyamah, I'll be happy. And that's what you call a great man. That doesn't think good of himself. He's so worried about akhirat, so worried about the way he's going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the thing that was worrying him. Anyway, that young person goes away. As that young person is going away, it catches the eye of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that his pants is below his ankles and he's touching the ground. So what does Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu say? Ruddu alayya al-ghulam. Send that young man back to me. Send that young man back to me. Now look at this. On the verge, about to pass away, send him back to me. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu tells him straight, clearly, unambiguously, irfa thobak. Lift up your cloth. فَإِنَّهُ أَبْقَى لِثُوبِكَ وَأَدْقَى لِرَبِّكَ. Because it will allow your cloth also to last longer if it's not dragging on the floor. And this is more, better. It is a high level of piety in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you keep your pants above your ankle. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one side, he was worried about the unity of the ummah. Alhamdulillah alladhi lam yaj'al mitati biyadi rajulin yad'i al-islam. On one side he was worried about the unity of the ummah, but on the other side he didn't fail in his duty of amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. Therefore ulama say this is the classical example of karte karte marna hai or marte marte karna hai, that whilst he was living he was doing what he needed to do, whilst he was dying he was still doing what he needed to do. He didn't sacrifice amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. This is what I need to do, this is what I need to do. It doesn't mean that for the sake of human unity I have to sacrifice what has to be said. What has to be said has to be said. So he tells this young boy in such a nice way. He explains to him, and when he addresses him also, he says, Yabna akhi, O my nephew, O young man, O young boy, irfa thobak, lift up this cloth of yours. And then he explained to him, فَإِنَّهُ أَبْقَى لِثُوبِكُ وَأَدْقَى لِرَبِّكُ. And this is Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So this is something that we have to keep in mind, that what is right is right. It needs to be said. And it should be said, not that the person should remain silent every time he sees wrong around him. He should speak out, because this is part of our deen. And now look at the last part of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He tells his son, oh my son. He said, look to see how much of debts I got. See how much. In other words, he's worried that I'm leaving this world. And when I'm leaving this world, I shouldn't leave in a condition where I'm owing people money. And this is left unattended to. So it was seen that he had 86,000 that was outstanding. He tells them that if the family of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu can pay it, it should be paid. If it cannot be paid, then it should be paid by the extended family, Bani Adi ibn Ka'b. This was the extended family of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Ask them to assist in paying this. If they cannot manage also, then ask the Quraysh. But don't go any further than that. Don't go ask anybody else. You try and settle my debts. In other words, I got debts. I'm worried it must be paid. Now this is what you call a classical example of a man who's worried of huququllah, the rights of Allah, and huququl ibad, the rights of people. I shouldn't be trampling upon anybody's rights. I got money that is owing. I should make arrangements before I go that it should be paid. Not that I get myself into loans. Not that I should get myself into a position where I'm owing people money, I should unnecessarily borrow, and the last thing that a person should ever do is go to the bank and borrow. Yesterday one person came to me, he's telling me, I'm again expecting a lot of funds to come from one company of mine where I sold my shares, but I don't have the money right now. I just want to go to the bank and borrow so much so I can buy one house for my daughter. So I asked him, Haji Sahib, what will happen if you pass away tomorrow? What will happen if you pass away the day after tomorrow? Will you be owing somebody? And the last thing you want to do is be owing a bank money when you passed away, a riba institute you want to owe when you want to pass away. Pass away in such a condition that you're clean. Wait for that money to come. When that money comes from the shares you sold, now you buy that house. What difference will it make? You waited so long. But don't put yourself into debts. The West is such, they want to get us into debts. And look at Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he's worried. His fikr is, how can my debts be absolved? How can my debts be settled? And the last thing he says in this particular incident, or in, for us what we're explaining today, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, that, oh my son, he's speaking to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, go to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and tell her that I would like to be buried with my two companions. Now look at his mind. In his life he wanted to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and the pious. When he's passing away, he's worried that I must be buried, I must stay with the pious. Ask ourselves, how often do we would like to stay with the pious? When December comes, holidays come, we just want to move. Any resort we find, we want to go. Any exotic destination, are we going to be there with the pious or are we going to be there with the unpious? Ask ourselves that question. Yeah, he's passing away. This is his worry, that I must be buried with the pious. Then go to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and tell her that Umar wants to be buried in that spot where she had got reserved for herself. In other words, it was in her home. So she had the first right of being buried there. Go and ask her. And don't say Amirul Mu'mineen, because I'm not the Amirul Mu'mineen. Imagine, he was still the Amirul Mu'mineen, but he says today, he's dying. In other words, I'm in this condition, I'm not the Amirul Mu'mineen. Don't tell her that. There shouldn't be any type of extortion upon her that she feels compelled to say yes. Tell her, Umar is asking. So he goes, and when he comes back, and then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked the people, who is there? They say, it's Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar. He gets so happy, he said, lift me up. They lift him up, and then his son comes and tells him, I got good news. That which you was wishing for has been accepted. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, although she was weeping, she was crying, she said, I desired it for myself, but I will give preference to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu over myself. Ulama say, perhaps that is one of the biggest preference any person could give another person, to be buried with her husband Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She's given that preference for someone else. So anyway, he was so excited. He says, this was the thing that was worrying me the most, that I wanted to be with my companions. I wanted to be with my satis. Allah Ta'ala make it such that at least we desire to be with them in akhirat. And the way we can be with them in akhirat is we live the life according to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Live the life according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, he says one more thing after that. He says, listen, that after I pass away, take my janazah and stop and again ask her that Umar is asking permission to be buried. It's possible that whilst I'm alive, she feels compelled, she feels some type of desire that she has to make me happy. Now when I'm gone, she won't feel compelled, she won't have that desire that she needs to make me happy. Now she'll do what she feels that she is happy for her. Ask her again, that can Umar still be buried here? Look at Hukukul Ibad, to what extent he was worried about the rights of people. And then he says, if she doesn't give permission, bury me with the Muslims in the Muslim Qabristan, in other words, Jannatul Baqi. Bury me there, it's okay. But don't put anyone into any kind of taklif, that they have to do something that they don't want to do. In other words, don't extort her even to an inch. Look at the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq, time is expired. That in our life also we be genuine. In our passing away also we be genuine. But this can only happen when a person loves his life like that. كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ. As you love, you will die. And as you die, that's how you'll be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.